This is Audible.
Podium Publishing presents Mavericks, Book 6 of Expeditionary Force, written by Craig Allinson, performed by R.C. Bray. Chapter 1. I had to let Skippy's shocking last statement roll around in my brain for a moment before I could speak. Perkins and her team. I'm not on Paradise? Nope, Skippy clarified unhelpfully. Crap. Damn it, that pilot, Irene, he corrected me. Irene, yeah. She didn't, like, take a wrong turn or something. No, Joe. Well, I assume they didn't win a fabulous vacation cruise, so how the hell... Joe, while playing 20 questions with you would be immensely entertaining for me, we should jump away from here first. Oh, yeah. Desai. I checked the list on the command chair's armrest. Wherever we had to go to rescue Perkins, we first had to stop by a gas giant planet to fill the Dutchman's depleted fuel tanks. Jump option Alpha. Aye, aye, Captain, Desai replied and pressed a button. The only change on the main bridge display was the faint dot of the local star had disappeared because we were now in interstellar space. If you were ever looking for nowhere, we were smack in the middle of it. Okay, Skippy. I took a deep breath and watched Hans Chotek silently fuming at me. You better just tell us where Perkins is now and what kind of trouble she's gotten into this time. We have plenty of time for that later, Joe. I downloaded all the info to your tablets and laptops. You can read the whole story in detail any time you like. Right now, we need to prepare for the refueling operation. I suggest... sure. I cut off the beer can before he could get into geeky technical details of the risky art to extract fuel. How about you give us the elevator version of the story? Elevator version? Skippy asked, puzzled. Then he got excited. Oh, you mean like elevator music? I suppose I could put the story into a musical format, like an epic opera. In fact, that is a great idea. No, that is a terrible idea. I waved my hands while seeing panicked faces in the CIC. No one wanted to give Skippy an excuse to sing. I meant like an elevator pitch, you know? I had to read that concept in one of the U.S. Army PowerPoint slides I was supposed to study for officer training. Give us the 30-second version of the story. Oh. The beer can's hopes were crushed. Ooh, he sighed. All right. Fine, he said with disgust, to make clear it was anything but fine to him. To make a long story short, Perkins is... The lights went out. All the lights, even the independently powered emergency lights. My stomach did flip-flops as the artificial gravity cut out completely, and it wasn't the typical slow power down of the gravity generators. This was someone flipping a switch from on to off. So startling and sudden was the loss of power that instead of frightened cries of alarm from the crew, there was a brief moment of pure silence. Pure silence, like no sound, no gentle hissing of air through the vents, no beeping from control panels. That was odd. What I picked up on immediately, what made my hair stand on end, was the loss of the faint rumbling sound of the reactor. Our new second-hand reactor that Skippy dug out of the junkyard in the Roach Motel had a different and lower-pitched sound than the Dutchman's original reactors, and the new reactor had an intermittent vibration that had scared the hell out of me and kept me awake at night until I got used to it. Now I was holding my breath, hoping that scary vibration would be felt through my boots on the deck. Nothing. What scared me the most, made my insides freeze into a solid lump, was the absolute silence from Skippy. The silence was broken by everyone talking at once, although because the Merry Band of Pirates are highly disciplined badass special operations troops, no one panicked. "Everyone quiet, please," I asked in what was supposed to be a calm voice that came out as a broken squeak. "Skippy. Skippy, are you there?" Oh, thank God. His beer can lit up with a soft blue glow bright enough to illuminate the bridge, combat information center, and the passageway outside. "I'm here, Joe. Sorry about not responding immediately. I was super-duper ultra-busy." Other lights began to show as people pulled out their Z-phones and activated the flashlight feature. "Everything is okay with you, right? You didn't go on holiday again?" "Huh? Nope, no, I'm fine. I was just super extra awesomely busy trying to determine why all the power cut out. The emergency power should have come on. The red backup lighting snapped on as he spoke. Like I said, emergency power is restored. Temporarily. Just local independent systems are active. Even the backup power is offline.
Whew! Reactor containment was iffy there for a moment. Kind of skating on the edge of disaster. I got it now. Damn, that was too close.
What was too close? What went wrong?
Still investigating that, Joe. Lots of numbers to crunch. I suggest you get the crew preparing to get into spacesuits, escape pods, dropships, anything with an independent source of power.
Although, damn it, the dropships are now powering down one by one. And the escape pods, crap! Everything is shutting down!
Skippy, we need some answers, pronto. Can you...
Joe, I am extremely busy right now. Like, with the superconducting magnets of the reactor containment system failing, I am the only thing preventing hot plasma from exploding and destroying the ship. Talk to you later.
He ended the conversation abruptly. And not knowing what had gone wrong was intensely frustrating, but there wasn't anything I could do about it until Skippy analyzed the problem. If he couldn't contain the radioactive plasma in the main reactor, we would not have any problems to analyze, so I left him alone to do whatever he was doing. I jammed a thumb down on the button to open the Dutchman's 1MC intercom system, which fortunately broadcast to people's Z-phones through Skippy.
All hands, this is the captain. We have suffered...
What? I paused like an idiot.
An apparent engineering casualty.
I used the most vague term I could think of. At least the crew would be assured the problem was not caused by enemy action. Unless... Crap, it was caused by some kind of enemy action. Skippy had not ruled that out.
Until main power is restored, please...
I stuttered to a halt again. Please what, abandon ship? That wasn't the answer, especially with a dropship's fallen offline.
Get access to spacesuits and secure extra power packs, as many as you can get.
While the suits were in storage, they were plugged into main power to keep their internal power cells topped off and ready for immediate use. Main power was dead, and dropships were powering down. Dropships in docking bays were plugged into umbilical power cables. Even the ready bird we kept on Zulu alert. If whatever caused the problem with main power also traveled up the umbilical cables, then our spacesuits might be affected also.
Report into the CIC when you have a functioning suit available. You do not need to put the suit on or use supplemental oxygen at this time, I added to avoid people using up their suit's breathable air supply.
The internal volume of the Dutchman's hull contained enough air for almost a full day, though the air in populated compartments was going to get warm and stale quickly. I needed to consider dispersing people out of the CIC and galley and into cargo holds, any place with a large volume of air. Maybe if we kept all the internal doors open, that might slow the process of carbon dioxide building up in isolated areas of the ship.
Maybe instead of guessing, I should ask someone who knows actual sciencey stuff.
Colonel, Gunnery Sergeant Adams called out while floating beside my chair, holding a spacesuit she had pulled from a locker we installed in the CIC. Her face was lit up by the Z-phone she was holding between two fingers. And because I am a moron, the first thought that flashed across my brain was something like, wow, she has really beautiful skin, followed by me noticing for the first time how thick her eyelashes were. In my defense, she was floating right in front of my face, and the Z-phone was glowing from close to her right ear, so my eyes concentrated on what I could see in the overall dim lighting. Either that or I am just a complete idiot. Let's go with the first explanation.
What?
I shook my head to bring my brain back into focus.
This suit is dead.
She pointed to the status display on the spacesuit's left wrist. The display was blank. Not even the usual faint blue standby indicator was glowing.
Oh, crap. Wait.
I had a thought as my brain kicked into gear. Disconnect the power cell and swap in one of the spare power cells, one that wasn't plugged in for charging. We had more power cells than charging stations aboard the ship, so we had a schedule for rotating power cells to keep all of them fully charged. That is a task the crew performed, even though Skippy had disdainfully insisted his bots could handle the job more efficiently. Efficiency is not the point, I had told him. The crew needed to take responsibility for assuring the readiness of critical equipment, if we could handle the job without screwing something up. That is why we maintained our personal weapons as best we could, and why we participated in regular maintenance chores for the combots, dropships, and any other piece of equipment we could touch without risk of us blowing up the ship. Even if all pilots could do was hold tools for the bots working on dropships, the pilots would see what the bots were doing and have at least some feeling of control over how their ships were maintained. One of the CIC crew heard me, reached into the locker for a spare power cell, and gently tossed it toward Adams. In the zero-G, the power cell floated off course, so I had to snatch it out of the air and hand it to Adams, taking the suit's dead power cell from her. Power cells were designed to be swapped by someone wearing a suit, so ironically it was more awkward to take one out and snap in a new one from outside the suit. The suit kept moving around until I saw the frustrated look on her face turning into a flash of anger. With her floating, she couldn't get any leverage on the handle to swing the power cell into place, so I clamped the suit's legs between my thighs and hugged the suit's torso to my chest to hold it steady for her. She acknowledged my action with a silent nod, and her grimace turned to a smile as I heard the click of the power cell's cover snapping into place. Instantly, the wrist display lit up. "Yes." Her face glowed, and not just from the Z-phone. "How did you know, sir?" She looked at me with a combination of awe and suspicion. "I didn't know. I was guessing," I admitted. "When I heard the dropships were powering down, I wondered if whatever the fault is travels along the umbilical cables." "And suits in storage are plugged into charging stations," she flashed a wry smile. "Good thinking, sir. That's why you get the big bucks." I got lucky. "Sims," I called through the glass separating the bridge from the CIC. "Notify the crew not to trust anything that was plugged in and to replace their suit power cells with cells that were in storage." "Yes, Colonel," Sims acknowledged and spoke into a Z-phone. Although the ship's comm system was down, Skippy could relay Z-phone signals throughout the ship until the Z-phone power cells died. "I wonder," Adams frowned, holding the dead power cell. "I'd like to try connecting this dead one to a power cell that is active." "Okay," I asked slowly. "Why?" "I'd like to know whether this power cell is really dead, or if it got drained by running the charging system backwards or something," she explained. "If it accepts a charge, it only got drained and the power cell itself is okay." "A good idea. Do that." Sims waved for my attention. "All stations acknowledge, Colonel. We have confirmation that swapping power cells solves the suit problem," she added to confirm our success was not a fluke. "Lieutenant Williams wants to try swapping power cells in a combat." "Tell him permission granted, but let's hold experiments to a minimum for now. We don't want to risk our supply of good power cells." "Adams?" "No joy, sir." She shook her head slowly. "Damn it. Now the good power cell I connected to the dead one is also offline. Whatever the problem is, it must get transmitted through hard connections." I snapped my fingers. "My tablet is in my office sitting on a charging mat," I stated, though it occurred to me that with the loss of artificial gravity, the tablet might now be floating out in the passageway. "Check if my tablet is dead, Gunny." "Aye, aye, sir," Adams said as she propelled herself out the door. Because my tiny office was just around a corner, she returned in seconds, wiping her face. Why was her face wet? And what was the dark stain on her uniform? Oh, yeah. "Sorry about the coffee, Sergeant." I remembered right then that I had left a half cup of coffee on my desk. That liquid must have dispersed into the air when the gravity cut off. Eh, that was my fault. I had been thinking like my office was on firm ground somewhere rather than on a ship. Would a Marine make such a boneheaded mistake? Maybe not. Most Marines I knew tended to think in terms of being based aboard a ship. "Any luck?" "No," she replied while gently pushing my tablet to me. I caught it and verified the thing was indeed totally dead. Crap. Damn it, I've had this thing since before Columbus Day. "Same tablet?" she asked in surprise. "That's old for a tablet. It runs Skippy software, so it never needs updating," I said defensively. "And I never had to think about a problem with it until now." Crap. "I bought that tablet before my old battalion got shipped out to Nigeria. I used it there sometimes to video chat with my folks back home, although the Wi-Fi connection out in the bush there had mostly been on the tin cans and string level. I was proud when I bought that tablet, and it had been to the jungle and the stars and back with me. Was it now only a paperweight? Oh, hell, without artificial gravity, it wasn't even any kind of weight." "Major Sims warned people not to trust anything connected to ship's power, whether it's a hard connection or not." Sims passed the word, and within a minute she reported that everyone aboard the ship had a spacesuit ready for use. everyone except me, because I had been sitting uselessly strapped into the command chair.
"Here you go, sir." Adams came to my rescue, pulling a spacesuit over to me and tying it to the back of the chair.
"It's ready to go." She pointed to the blue glowing standby indicator. "There are 3 spare good power cells attached to the waist belt."
"Thank you, Gunny."
I caught the eye roll from her when I used the term Gunny for her new rank. Adams didn't think her field promotion was legit, especially when the promotion was granted by a sergeant masquerading as a colonel. I agreed with her about that second part, but she deserved to be a gunnery sergeant. If she was serving with the Marine Corps on Earth, she almost certainly would have been promoted to an E-7 pay grade by now. So far, I had not insisted that Adams wear the patch with a second rocker to indicate her new status, but the ship's crew log had her listed as gunnery sergeant, and I had heard an increasing number of people calling her Gunny, whether she liked it or not.
"Should we—"
"Hey, Joe!" Skippy's avatar popped to life in midair between bridge and CIC.
"Skippy, are the reactors good?"
"I've vented the plasma from the main reactor. There's some minor damage to the hull from the emergency venting. Nothing to worry about."
"Joe, we are in big effing trouble. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Main and backup reactors are offline, and I can't restart them because there is no power to the superconducting containment system. Almost every power generation or power storage system aboard the ship is dead, anything that was connected to the ship at the time of the incident. Even the jump drive capacitors are completely drained and in cold shutdown, totally dead."
"Yeah, we found that ourselves. Power cells that weren't plugged in. Those backup power cells won't last forever, and they will start going dead soon as the problem migrates into power storage devices that don't have a hard connection."
"Skippy, what the hell is going on? If one of our ancient second-hand reactors shut down, I could understand that, because we picked them up from a junkyard. But the problem was not confined only to equipment we found in the junkyard.
Joe, have you ever bought a used car, and the dealership supposedly cleaned the thing, but you find the previous owner's stuff under a seat?"
"Yeah, my cousin bought a truck, and a couple months later he found panties under the passenger seat. 2 pairs. One pair I can understand, but damn. 2? That guy must have gotten luck."
I caught Adams giving me a look.
"Must have, neglected to check under the seats before he sold that truck," I finished, my face growing beet red.
"That was a heartwarming and insightful story, Joe. Really super helpful," Skippy mocked me.
"My point was, when you get something pre-owned, sometimes you get more than you bargained for."
"Huh. Like what? We haven't bought any—" "Oh, crap. The junkyard? We brought something back from the Roach Motel?" I guessed.
"Unfortunately, yes, Joe. It now appears the Guardians tagged wreckage in the junkyard with tracers to monitor the status of ships they had broken up."
"Tracers? Like a GPS tag?
Why didn't you know about these tags? And how could something like that shut down—"
"No, dum-dum, not like a GPS tag. The devices—"
"Well, actually, they are not devices at all, because they have no physical presence. They are—" He huffed with ultimate disgust.
"How do I explain this to a monkey? To you?"
It's an energy virus. Like a virus, but it affects systems which generate and store energy, rather than affecting matter like a living cell."
"Okay. I ponder that concept. Is it anything like the nanovirus the Theranin used to take control of Krystang ships?"
"No, it's nothing crude like that. The Theranin technology, which they stole and barely understand, by the way, is still based on manipulating matter. This virus is energy, Joe. Pure energy."
"So it's like a computer virus," I guessed.
"Close enough. Except without a computer to infect or any sort of software code. Joe, this virus feeds on and attacks patterns of energy."
"It changes their pattern?"
"Again, close enough. Let me give you an example. Okay. The power cell in that spacesuit was fully charged, and all that energy did not get drained in an instant," he declared with a snap of his avatar's fingers. The finger snapping made a sound which I think was something new. I don't remember Skippy doing that before. "The energy is still in that power cell, but it is now locked away in a pattern that can't be accessed. It's like the energy is tangled up in knots and can't flow out the power connections. Ugh!"
He sighed in his best drama queen fashion, shrugging his shoulders and throwing up his hands.
"Damn, I am getting dumber just trying to explain this to you."
"Uh-huh. Can you untangle the knots, or whatever?"
"No."
"Damn it.
Fine. What do we have for a backup energy source? Well, Joe, I was going to switch from the reactors to the beryllium sphere, but it's cracked. His voice dripped with sarcasm.
Were you not listening to me at all? We can't generate or store energy at all, dum-dum.
Give me some good news, Skippy. Come on. Throw me a bone, will you? The good news is if I can purge the system of the energy virus, the power cells should recharge without any lasting effects, I think. I've never encountered an energy virus, so all I have to go on is theory. Truthfully, I'm kind of making shit up as I go. Okay. I ran a hand through my hair and took a deep breath while I processed the latest disaster that had struck the merry band of pirates. You got any ideas how to purge this energy virus from the ship?
Yep,
Skippy replied with bubbly good cheer. And you'll like this one because it is easy peasy. Would you care to enlighten me, O Great One? It's simple, Joe, and there is only one way to do it. I need to reboot the ship. Turn the ship off, drain all power completely, then I'll restart it using my own internal power. Hopefully. I'm not making any promises. Turn the ship off. I could not imagine the entire length of the Flying Dutchman, even our much-rebuilt Frankenship, going dark. Like, off. For how long? My best guess is 86 hours. Could be a bit longer. 86? Holy crap, Skippy. We're supposed to live in spacesuits that whole time?
What? No, dum-dum. Didn't you listen? He scoffed.
I said turn off the ship. That means everything, anything that generates, uses, or stores power. That includes spacesuits and dropships, in case you were hoping to take shelter in those until it is safe to come back aboard the Dutchman. How the hell are we going to survive for 86 freaking...
It could be longer, he warned me.
86 or more hours in deep space with zero power. No lights, no oxygen recycling, no heat. I knew that heat was not the worst problem, not even in the utter frozen wastes of interstellar space. The ship was surrounded by hard vacuum, basically a thermos, the best insulator. There wasn't anything touching the ship's hull to pull heat away, so the only way we would lose heat was through photons or infrared light slowly radiating away from the ship, and that would take a while. The crew could wear cold weather gear, then spacesuits to retain body heat, so cold was not an immediate problem. Joe, the problem is a bit more complicated than that.
Of course it is, I threw up my hands.
What complication? Once I have turned off all shipboard systems and drained all power, there will be one source aboard the ship still generating electrical power.
Our Z-phones, I guessed.
Oh, hell. We can live without, not phones, Joe.
Humans! The human nervous system generates and uses electricity. If all other systems are drained of power, the energy virus will migrate into your bodies and attack the energy patterns there.
Oh, crap.
Uh-huh. Oh, crap, indeed.
The crew needs to be away from the ship when I begin turning the power off, so the energy virus won't have access to you, because that would be fatal.
Away from the ship in spacesuits that don't have any power?
Because spacesuits had a lot of surface area compared to our thermal mass, heat would radiate away quicker than from the ship. I'm not bragging about knowing that fact, Dr. Friedlander told me. Heat wasn't the most immediate problem, because without power, the suits could not circulate or recycle oxygen. Unfortunately, I do not see any other way to purge the energy virus from the ship without it using the crew as hosts, so... You need to get away, and we're running out of time, so we need to get started.
Skippy, you certainly know people can't survive 86 hours, not even 86 minutes, in an unpowered suit. Yet, your idea is to get us away from the ship, so you must have a plan. Please tell me you have a plan.
Nope,
he said with way more cheerfulness than was appropriate.
Not a single clue.
I know how to purge the energy virus from all of our systems. What I do not know is how the crew will survive without any source of power long enough for me to absolutely drain all power and erase the virus.
Crap.
Explain the problem to me in simple terms, please. I have already started draining power from every system we have, but it's a race against time because the virus is attempting to use the locked-up power to destroy the ship. That means we can't delay implementing whatever plan you dream up. The crew will need to be away from energy storage sources like the ship and dropships long enough for me to purge the virus.
That is 86 hours for the Flying Dutchman, and about 32 hours for dropships.
All right. My mind was already racing through ideas. We leave the ship in spacesuits that have dead power cells. And how about we float away from the ship to meet up with power cells we will send ahead of us?
Not happening, Joe. You have to leave the ship, but you can't take any sort of stored energy with you. That includes electrical, thermal, and chemical energy.
Shit, we can't take anything with us? We are too far away from a star to use solar power panels.
Correct.
Then this is freaking impossible.
Well, to me it is impossible, but I have learned from painful experience that for all my incredible awesomeness, I am not good at dreaming up creative solutions to impossible problems. Thus, I have outsourced that little task to you.
Outsourced?
Sure, Joe. His avatar waved a hand dismissively toward me.
Make it happen. Oh, and hurry, please. We don't have a lot of time.
All right, I'll talk to Dr. Friedlander. I am not great at physics, but there is one thing I do know.
What's that?
We're gonna have to science the shit out of this.